Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone, alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
It is, and based on my good behavior the last show, I earned two shows in a row.
Well, also my bubble bell. Very appropriate for today.
Yes.
And our guest, which we'll get into in a minute. But before we go there, I mean, this time of year not only is harvest time,
yes,
but it's
harvest is underway, so that's exciting.
Yeah. But it's also an annual gathering.
Yeah. So we have this week coming up. We have our members of what we consider our think tank, which you are one of them. You're a thinker.
I try to think.
Welcome to the tank.
Yes, I'm more tank than think.
Well, it depends on the day.
Right.
But we have members of our, we call it the Sonoma County Center for Ag Sustainability, or the Ag Center for short, coming into Sonoma County for sort of a day and a half of planning. So this was an idea that started literally in 2016 or 2017. It was just sort of this notion. I was fresh off of a fellowship traveling in Europe and had just had a lot of exposure to just different thinking and people from different areas and a lot of interest in agriculture. And it kind of just inspired me to think about what would it be like and how helpful would that be to bring in folks who aren't in agriculture from around the country, who have different disciplines, but are just smart thinkers, innovators, to come to Sonoma County and help us think bigger, more broadly, think through some of our challenges, things we could do better, help connect us to networks that we may not have here. And so I went back to my alma mater, to the Wharton School, and invited, begged, coursed, sent lots of wine to my favorite professor from MBA school, Professor George Day, and asked if he'd be sort of my partner in this endeavor and be the facilitator, because we needed someone at the front of the room helping draw out these ideas and putting them together. And he said yes, which was awesome. I had done some work with him when I was in the dairy industry as well. So we're now, you know, well, you've been a part of it. I mean, what do you think? So,
yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's year 4 or 5,
yeah,
possibly. I mean, I think it's incredibly useful having just any outside eyes on what we do here. I mean, obviously, I'm a little bit closer living here in Sonoma County and covering the wine industry. But yeah, to have different people's perspectives from where they live, where they teach, where they work, where they have worked. I mean, there's somebody that worked at World Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
And he actually has very interesting insights into
navigate PR issues, for sure.
PR, so, marketing. Brilliant. So I do think like there's just value in the group and a manageable group,
yeah,
and then somebody kind of facilitating the discussion. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun because I think the original ask was for folks to commit to coming to Sonoma County 4 times over 2 years. The way we modeled is we would pay travel, they would donate their time, so there would be no like consulting fees or anything else associated with it. And in kind of rounded up this really interesting group of folks through a number of different networks and friends of friends and contacts of contacts. And we had everyone that I reached out to said yes, except for one person who just had a conflict with like 2 of the original dates. And so our commitment was like, okay, the first 4 sessions, you have to at least come to 3 of them to create a meaningful discussion. The final session was going to be what happened to be during COVID. So we did it online. But then everyone said, no, we're not done. Don't stop this.
Yeah.
So amazingly, we kind of shifted it to once a year now. It was twice a year for a couple of years. So it's really fun. So it's this annual gathering and just kind of think tank. It's a think tank.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think like the seeing the same people every time really helps too, because there is more of a level of comfort and shorthand almost.
Yeah.
Like you can get over kind of the pleasantries and really get down to the work. Plus, because it's wine, there's lots of fun.
It's lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Lots of dinners, lots of discussions over dinner without an agenda. And some of the best conversations are there.
I know. And this year we're really excited and blending another thing that I love, which is the Green Music Center. And we're doing our opening evening. We're going to the Beach Boys concert. So we're bringing everyone in to go to the Beach Boys concert, doing food and wine there and supporting the Green Music Center. And then the next day we'll kick off kind of with the planning session, staying at Vintners Resort. So I'm really excited about it. And we've just been talking to Professor Day, who's still helping us lead this charge and really going to be focused on sort of the future of our sustainability leadership and kind of what does the next 10 years look like and getting perspective on that. So I think it's going to be really, really fun and useful information and inspired the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience and a lot of other things we've done in partnerships. So a lot of good has come out of it. And it's the good stuff. So.
It is absolutely the good stuff. And I will get my thinking cap on in time, hopefully, for that. And when we come back.
You got a couple days. So
I
got to rest up.
Thank goodness. When we come back, we will introduce our guests. Good stuff. And our guests today are Vicky Farrow, proprietor of Amista Vineyards, and her winemaker, Ashley Herzberg, winemaker for Amista Vineyards. Welcome.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
And do you know what I see?
Well, I know. I mean, I think we're just going to get right to it. So, we have two guests who have brought bubbles and a very enthusiastic co-host that
loves bubbles.
Has bubble bell.
And so has my bubble bell for the second show in a row.
Let's put the two together and open up a bottle.
I was promised this bubble bell was a gift, a trinket I brought back from London for Virginie, and then I overused it on one of the shows.
On this very show.
And so it got whisked away and made an appearance at our last show, and I had such great behavior with the bubble bell. I got it again this show, so I'm going to do my best to
We're
going to
see how it goes.
Yeah.
How do you overuse a bubble bell?
Thank you, Vicky. That is an excellent question.
I think
I'm going to love the show already.
Okay. Yeah.
That's for Vicky.
I think we may not have more any questions at this point. We're
the
just
show's
gonna
over.
Drink bubbles.
Enjoy bubbles. Go to Amista. Done. Anything else we need to know out there, right? People?
I think that's about it.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, a moment of silence. So Ashley can open the bottle. And then
on that note, we'll get started.
Open. Woo! All right.
There's a lot of enthusiasm for bubbles.
Okay, and as we pour, or as Ashley pours, I should say, I'm just sitting here drinking.
What are you doing? I'm ringing the bell. Ashley's pouring.
I'm counting how many times you ring the bell. That's what I'm doing. No, I'm not. I'm enjoying the look of these bubbles. But maybe Ashley, when you have a second after you've waited on all of us, to tell us what we have.
Yeah, so this is actually a very special wine. It's called Amistara. It's a Blanc de Blanc. Yes. And we made it in celebration of...
I love Blanc de Blanc.
Yes, Blanc de Blanc.
Blanc de Blanc for the win.
Oh, they're the best. We made this in celebration of our 20th anniversary, which we're celebrating this year.
Wow.
So,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, cheers.
Cheers, cheers, cheers. Ching, ching, ching.
All right.
Cheers, cheers,
ching,
cheers. Ching, ching.
Thank you for coming on and for... Okay, we need more cheers. All right, so you've laid the groundwork a little bit, that 20 years. So, Vicky, you were there at the beginning, I'm guessing.
I was there at the beginning, yes, I was.
And so tell us the story of founding this winery and your vision for it.
Oh, okay, a vision. No, there wasn't a vision. Sorry, Virginie, there was no vision.
All right.
Next question, Virginie. Next question.
I'm drinking.
There was no plan. There was no vision. It just evolved. It's something that just evolved. And really, the inspiration for this whole thing was really my husband, Mike's. But years after we started, we uncovered that we had what I like to say is a dream that we didn't know we had. Nice. And we didn't know we shared. Aww. And by that, I mean we never acknowledged it. It must have been in the back of our minds, and we never talked about it. But about 10 years into it, we discovered that probably, I'm 100% certain this is where it came from, there was a set of Ernest and Julio Gallo commercials in the late 80s that had this beautiful music called Hymn, and all these gorgeous shots of vineyards, of harvest, of the little quintessential red truck in the vineyard, of long tables of people enjoying food and wine. Some of the commercials showed wedding toasts and stuff. They were just incredible. I think we both got that image in our mind of something we wanted. And then it would be another, 10 years before Mike would plant his first vineyard. So that's kind of the image.
Okay, so when you were seeing these Gallo commercials, where were you?
We had met in Colorado, that's where we grew up, and we had moved to Silicon Valley. Okay. So that's where we were at the time. And that's where the first step in the journey happened. So we had this steep hillside at our home. And every year we had to plow it because it had grasses on it. And at the time, I'm like, why do we have to do this? Well, now I get it, you know, with the fires, I get why we had to do that. But Mike hated having to do that. So he saw this little ad and it said Backyard Vineyards. And we liked wine. So we're like, yeah, okay. So he decided to plant 150 Cabernet vines. And that was in the spring. And then in the fall, he thought, I should learn how to make wine if I'm going to grow grapes. And so he called the same guy that did the ad and said,
Backyard Vineyard guy.
Backyard Vineyard guy. And helped me buy some wine. And he bought some grapes. He bought half a ton. To me, how many cases is that, Ashley?
It's about 30.
Yeah. 30 cases, over 30, right? Okay. Like, that's a lot of Cabernet. We didn't drink that much Cabernet, but I'm okay, fine. He made wine in our garage. Yeah. Here's the really sad part. 6 months after that, so we have a vineyard that's only a year old. We have wine in the barrel for 6 months. I got a job in New Jersey.
There's no bell.
That's a takeaway.
That's exactly sad. How Mike acted.
Wow, that's like sad pouty face for sure.
Sad. So, but obviously we couldn't barrel that wine or bottle that wine. It was too young. We did stand in the vineyard crying with our friends because we never saw it produce fruit. It was only a year old. But Mike decided to ask the movers to put the barrel in the middle of the moving van. Being a scientist, he put a recording thermometer on it to make sure it never got too hot.
Oh, my God.
It went all the way to New Jersey, and luckily we had a basement. We put it in the basement and waited a couple years until it was ready to start bottling. When friends would come for dinner, we'd bottle some wine up, and it was good. And he thought, I'm a winemaker.
I've arrived.
Because it is that easy, Ashley, right?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why we're not all doing it that way.
Especially when you have no idea what you're doing, right? But so I was busy working. My company was going through an IPO. I was never home. I did not know that Mike was on the internet looking for properties back in Healdsburg. Because that was a place we used to come.
The internet emerged.
The early days of the internet. And, you know, he got connected with a realtor. The realtor said, you must fly out. I have three properties. They're going to go tomorrow if you don't come.
Yep. Urgency.
So two other couples came, met us here. We looked at three properties. We found this gorgeous property in Dry Creek, in the heart of Dry Creek. And that was the next step in the journey.
Wow.
Okay. But it was just a vineyard.
But how did he, I mean, why was he looking in Healdsburg specifically? Or did he know why he was looking in Healdsburg?
Yes, because even when we lived in Colorado, one of our first trips to California was to Healdsburg. Okay. We loved it. When we lived in the Silicon Valley and the South Bay, we came here all the time. So he knew it. We had been here a lot, and we both loved it. Yeah. He probably knew that was one of the best ways to get me out of New Jersey was mentioned.
Well, hopefully
Healdsburg.
That wasn't a hard sell.
No, I can't imagine. Too hard. I wanted to come back. Yeah. He didn't know that.
And so what were you drinking in those days? You said you didn't really necessarily love or drink a lot of cab.
Well, we did drink cab, but we drank all kinds of different things. In New Jersey, the wine selection isn't quite as good as it is here.
Yeah, I know, we are lucky.
So we drank a whole variety of things. We liked Zin, we liked Chardonnay, we liked Cabernet. We didn't know much about what we've come to specialize in, which is Rhone varietals. Mm-hmm. We hadn't really drunk much of that. But anyway, so we owned this vineyard all of a sudden, and it was 3 years before we got to move here. And as soon as Mike's feet hit the ground, I swear he wanted to make wine again. So this time he harvested 3 tons of Syrah that we had on our property.
Love Syrah.
And once again made Syrah in our garage. And I was working as a consultant. I'd have clients come up. We'd have friends come over. We'd taste out of the barrel with the wine thief. Everybody loved
the romantic.
Syrah. It was so romantic. And they kept saying to Mike, why don't you make this so we can buy it? We want to be able to buy this. And so he listened to him. And the very next year, 2003, we made our first commercial wine. So you can see it was just one thing led to another thing.
Yeah.
But it was all his idea, not mine.
And so 2003, Ashley, were you in grade school?
That is very kind. I did work my first harvest. I was still in college in 2003. I worked my first harvest in 2006, but I actually met Mike and Vicky in 2007. So I've known them almost my whole career, and I started making their wine in 2011. So I've been around a little while, too. Not quite the full 20 years of the anniversary, but for quite a bit of it, so.
And so tell us a little bit more about, like, where you came from, and you didn't go to school for winemaking, is my recollection.
I did not. I studied chemical engineering. I'm from the Reno, Lake Tahoe area. I went to school at UNR for college, and I knew nothing about wine, except that my parents drank, like, super oaky Napa cabs. That was their... That was their thing. I was like, wow, wine is intense.
Yeah.
I was like, it's so oaky. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know what oak was. I just, you know, knew that it was very tannic. But I had this chemical engineering degree thinking that I was going to go to medical school. And I worked in a hospital during college. And, you know, being from Tahoe, you like to be outside.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, hospitals are... A lot of fluorescent lighting.
Not outside.
The opposite.
Yeah, the opposite. So then I had this, you know, engineering degree. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do, and I came to work one harvest. I worked at a custom crush winery in Sebastopol, and I think on day one I called my parents and I was like, I want to go back to school. Wine is just cleaning. It's horrible. And then on day two, I got forklift certified, called my parents, and they were like, 4 years of college and you can drive a forklift. And I was like, I'm never leaving.
You're like, but I'm so happy.
I know. I was like, I'm so happy. This is the coolest thing I've ever done. But we went to some vineyards on my second day and I was like, this is magical. And that was almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
So yeah, it's crazy. Time flies. Especially when you're making and drinking a
lot of wine.
Well, yeah.
And you're happy driving a forklift.
Well, and how do you go from, you know, forklift certified to making the wine? Because that's like, there's a little bit of a jump
there. Takes a while. Yeah, maybe.
Slippery slope, I guess. That first harvest, I worked in the lab. I very quickly got promoted to lab manager. And let me tell you, like, when you're studying engineering, like, the lab work is a little different than, like, the basic wet chemistry we do in, like, a wine lab. So I was like, this is easy. I got this. And then I came to Dry Creek, Dry Creek Valley, and worked at Moritzen Winery with Clay. And I just, you know, he taught me a lot. He was very hands-on. And, you know, I feel like I really quickly learned the ropes, you know, fell in love with Dry Creek Valley. It's been like a love affair for many years for me, just like Mike and Vicky. But that was kind of that. And in 2011, I kind of took the leap on my own and started making wine for Mike and Vicky at Amista. And it's been so great. And we actually still make our still wines at Moritzen. So I still get to work with them. Yeah, the long-term relationships are also something pretty magical about this industry.
Yeah, and I think those relationships, that the longevity of those partnerships, friendships, family relationships, just new family, old family, are surprising. I mean, I think people underestimate just how connected this wine and ag community really is, and it does make it very special and very unique.
I didn't realize your journey evolved also. You didn't have a plan that you were going to become a winemaker. Yeah. So there's a parallel in our two journeys.
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't have a plan to be a winemaker. I mean, I really thought I was going to be in a different career. And for the first few years, I told myself, I was like, well, when I'm bored or when I've like stopped, you know, learning things, I'll go back to grad school or I'll go, you know, do something else. And I have not been bored one single day.
Yeah. Right. Probably not.
Especially the last, I don't know, 5-ish years or so. But yeah, it's just such an evolution. And, you know, every year is so different. There's always something to learn and always something new to kind of uncover. And it makes it really fun. But yeah, no plan for this. Well, and I'm a planner.
It does feel like there's a lot of people who don't plan to be in the wine industry or become winemakers. But once they do, nobody goes back.
No one leaves to go be an engineer.
No.
Yeah, so go the other direction.
It's a one-way
direction.
I'm
this amazing winemaker, but I wonder what it'd be like to be an engineer instead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or go to medical school or, yeah.
Definitely not. I think all of my friends that did go a different path are like, so how do we get out of this and go into wine?
Yes. Yeah, are you hiring forklift drivers?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that bug catches all of us. I feel the same way. When I've been in this role for 12 years now with the wine growers, and I was like, oh, it's a stopover. I'll do it for a couple of years. And here I am 12 years later.
Bing! And here you are.
And here
yes.
I am.
Yes.
No, because you don't get bored. I mean, there's so, and I think that's really special. Sonoma County is a really, really, really special place. And the community here is incredible. And so I feel like, you know, you never outgrow it. You always just keep learning and getting a chance to meet great mm-hmm. people and learn more and do more and great partners. So.
And it's such a great blend of long-term, yes. you know, multi-generation families and newcomers all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a nice mix. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Vicki and Ashley from Amista. Stuff with our guests, Vicki Farrow and Ashley Herzberg from Amista Vineyards. And I was curious about, you know, we heard a little bit about your story and how you started with Rhone wines. Well, you started with Cab in Jersey, but beyond that, started in Dry Creek Valley. The vineyard you bought, I presume, was already planted to Rhone. Did you do any planting?
Actually, it was all planted to Chardonnay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
When we arrived. And we managed from afar to kill the vineyard. And it got all diseased because we didn't know, and neither did our vineyard manager, that the soils by the creek are really, really gravelly, and it needed a lot more water than we gave it. And so we really stressed out those vines. So we had to rip them all out, and then we decided to plant Syrah. And I don't know, again, there was no plan. It just sounded like, oh, Syrah like a good thing. And that was great because now we've really become Rhone lovers, but that was our first foray into the Syrah.
Okay, and that was all that you planted originally was just Syrah?
Originally, and since then we've replanted the whole vineyard. The Chardonnay was, goodness only knows how old it was when we bought it. Nobody knew, but we've had to replant all of that. And so we've replanted to Mourvèdre and Grenache and Roussanne. Isn't that the other one? And then we kept Chardonnay because we have to have Blanc de Blanc, Carissa.
Yes.
We have to have Blanc de Blanc.
Well, this is a perfect time to get
complete
into
agreement, because that is what I dream about. So I did have a dream for Blanc de Blanc, so thank you for that.
A day and night dreams.
A day and night dreams.
I mean, it's just kind of all, like, it's all the time.
Yes.
But this is what I want to know, is like you go from Syrah, Mourvèdre, Roussanne, like, okay, so when does the sparkling thing happen?
Oh, the sparkling thing. Yes, that's a great story. Once again, it was kind of like many things in our journey have been happy accidents. This started out with the first time we decided to do machine picking to see how it went in the Syrah. So that you do that at night because it's cooler. And Mike was out there supervising, and the machine was going down the rows, and he was so excited. He was had grapes all over his face. And I was asleep. And he said, go down that road. And he picked too much. It went over to Moritzen. It fit in the tank, but we got a call from, I think, Clay the next morning saying, well, good news, you've got your harvest in, you've got 10 tons of grapes in a 10-ton fermenter, and when it starts to ferment, it's going to spill over and go all over the floor, and you're going to clean it up. So Mike thought, okay, what do I do? So he went over there, and they decided to drain off some of the juice, which was just rosé at that point, put it in barrels with the idea of putting it back in to that Syrah later. Then we started tasting it, and it was delicious rosé. So we kept that and started making a rosé of Syrah, but we're still not at sparkling yet. That happened when our consulting winemaker at the time, Chris Wills, who worked at the Santa Rosa Junior College, wanted to teach his class how to make method champenois sparkling wine. And he asked if he could get some of that rosé from us and use it for his class. And we said, of course, as long as we get to taste it. And as soon as we did, we said, we got to make that for ourselves. So that was in 2008. We made our first sparkling wine. And it was a sparkling Syrah, which is very unusual.
Yeah.
Except
that's a great story. I love
Australia,
that this was
right?
a like a good project for a class of, you know, students at the Santa Rosa Junior College, which is a gem in our backyard. And all of a sudden you have this real inspiration and a whole new line of wines.
Yeah, thank goodness for Chris and his class.
Yeah, that's super fun. It must have been fun for those students to be like, oh, we launched a whole product line for Amista. Yeah.
Actually, we have a person who works for us now who was in that class.
No.
Wow. Can you believe that?
That's awesome. But so did it immediately become intentional at that point? Like, did you say, okay, well, next year, this is our plan?
Oh, no. You know, haven't you gotten the idea yet that nothing
well,
was intentional?
I have to keep asking.
Okay. So nothing really happened for
silly
a while.
Version.
That was 2008. Then, as Ashley mentioned, she joined us in 2011. And I think this was like one of the first days you were there. Ashley and I were standing in the vineyard, and I said, or she said, I don't even remember who said, could we make sparkling out of Chardonnay? Mm-hmm. Because I liked Blanc de Blanc also.
Good idea.
Carissa. Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
And Ashley had never made a sparkling wine, but she said, of course.
Yeah.
Why not?
Easier than medical school.
Oh, exactly. Totally.
Yes.
From that moment in the vineyard, we kind of went on this journey. And I have to say, like, Mike was like, what are you guys doing? This was definitely like mine and Vicky's journey to making sparkling wine. But I had never made a sparkling before. And we make our sparklings at Rack and Riddle. And I was really lucky that Penny Gads-Koster, the winemaker mm-hmm. there, and still the winemaker emeritus and the winemaker for mm-hmm. Breathless, just really helped me in those first few months or that first year. But one of the things stuck with me that she said, I was like, I don't know how to make sparkling. I don't know how to pick for it. And she's like, Ashley, they're still grapes. You're still making them into wine. You pick when they taste good. Like you're looking like, for a different set of flavors. But I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
So she was such a good mentor to have. And, you know, that in 2011, we only made Blanc de Blanc, I think. And we just kept adding sparklings over the years. Now I think we have seven sparklings. See, I can't even keep track. We have seven different sparkling wines, all made from our estate property. So it's definitely a passion project that's grown. And Vicky and I definitely share that passion.
We both love bubbles.
Yes.
Well, can
love
you explain,
bubbles.
Though, a little bit about the, well, here, a moment for the bubble.
There you go. I was like, I know. I was like, we love bubbles.
I was
agreeing.
But I would love Ashley or Vicky to explain a little bit about this notion of méthode champenoise, because it's considered traditional. It does go back to Champagne, but it's a very specific way to make sparkling.
Yeah, absolutely. So it starts in the vineyard. We are looking for a much lower sugar level, and there's a very specific reason for that. So I pick my still wines about 23 to 24 Brix. For sparklings, I'm picking 18 to 19 Brix. And the reason for that is sugar directly correlates to how much alcohol is going to be in the final wine. And for a méthode champenoise sparkling, it goes through a second fermentation in the bottle, and if the alcohol is too high, the yeast won't consume the remaining sugar. It'll kind of kill off the yeast, and you won't have another fermentation. You'll just have a very sweet base wine that's still. So we keep our alcohols lower after our first fermentation. It's about 11%. Then we bottle that base wine. It's very acidic. It's usually like 8 to 10 grams per liter of acidity, which is quite a bit higher mm-hmm. than still wines. And we bottle it with a little bit of sugar and a little yeast. And then each wine is fermented in each individual bottle. So you really get this like amazing product. You know, each one is slightly different because it's gone through its own journey. We age our sparklings for 12 to 18 or 22 months, depending on the wine. And after that, we start to riddle them. And I'm sure you guys have seen riddling racks and, you know, the, like, turning the bottles. We use gyro pallets now. It's a little bit easier of a process, less carpal tunnel, I'd say.
right.
But we get all of the sediment, all of the kind of dead yeast, all of the lees into the neck of the bottle, freeze it, and then disgorge it. And that's what gives our wines beautiful clarity and makes them méthode champenoise.
Thank you for that.
That was a great explanation.
I know it was. Yeah. I think because these terms are used a lot on bottles or mm-hmm. by producers or just randomly. And I do think sometimes we don't completely understand what they mean. We know it's a mark of quality, but how is the wine actually made? So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And again, it goes back to the vineyard.
Well, and I'm curious because we haven't answered this question. Why Amista? Where did that name come from?
Oh, okay. Well, I think you heard in the evolution of our story that...
Does it mean I don't have a dream and ended up here? Is that what that right. means?
It does not mean that at all. Every step of the way, there were friends involved, either drinking with us, cheering us on, giving us advice, making Mike get into the wine business, always. And so I wanted something that meant something about friends, okay? And then I had another criteria. It had to start with an A, so it would be at the top of all the lists.
Perfect. Okay. Smart.
That was my idea. So I took to the internet looking for names, and also friends kept giving us ideas. Yeah. And Amici was already taken. That's the Italian friend term. But I came across the word Amista, or I suppose I should say Amista, if I'm pronouncing
Amista.
It properly in Spanish. And it's a conjugation of amistrar, which is to make friends in Spanish. And I liked Amista. It was a nice, you know, five-letter word. It starts and ends with an A. It just seemed right. And as soon as I saw it, it was like, okay, that's it, because it means friendship.
Well, we will take a quick break and come back with our friends.
From Amista.
Amista. We are back with the good stuff with our friends from Amista, Vicky Farrow and Ashley Herzberg. I tried to say it.
I know, I got a lot of here. Maybe this will help. One more time.
Amista.
Yeah. There you go.
I feel like I should be wearing a bullfighting outfit or something and have a sword. So what else is, so tell us a little bit about what's new with Amista, how people can visit, sort of some of the things that they can come and interact with.
How can they try this amazing Blanc de Blanc wine the most important question.
Couple things. We're really small. We only make between 3,000 and 4,000 cases.
Wow,
so you can get our wines at our tasting room in Dry Creek. You can get them on the web, and you can get them through our wine club and a few restaurants locally, but you'll never find them on your store shelf. So come and see us. Our tasting room is open from 10:30 to 4:30, 7 days a week.
Nice.
So we always welcome people with appointments or walk-ins. Either way is just totally fine with us. A couple of things. One, you've already mentioned, but it's so important to me that we reached our 20-year anniversary, and we're celebrating that all year. And then another one I'm going to have Ashley talk about, which is a certification that we just got that we're really excited and proud about.
Yeah, so we just, as of June, became CCOF organic certified.
Yay!
There you go. We've been sustainable certified. Yep. We are fish-friendly farming certified. But taking it that next step was really important to us and to our winemaking. And, you know, we do make about half of our production is sparkling wine. So it was really important to us to be organic certified and have that sparkling wine be certified. So we're excited.
So when folks come and they can see a certified organic vineyard and taste wines, are there other like experiences? What can you do when they come visit? Different flights of wine?
Yes, we have different flights. We have, as you might imagine, we have a sparkling flight only. And we have a sparkling only wine club, which is something I always
really
wanted.
Cool.
I didn't always want the Pinot and Chard people put in their wine clubs. Sparkling flight, a red flight, and a white flight, because we do make several different whites.
Yeah.
And we also have a vineyard tour that people can take, either self-guided or guided.
One of our vineyard adventures.
Your vineyard adventures, which people really, really love.
Yeah. Which is great. We started that program, that was even before I arrived, so it's 12 plus years old, where a certain winery partners, we've sort of installed these vineyard walks that really tell the story of the place and of the county and community as well. So it's fun to have one at Amista. We send a lot of people there to do that little adventure.
That's great, and they love it, and it's family friendly and dog friendly. We're also dog friendly, just so you know.
That's great. And so an amistavineyards.com, that's A-M-I-S-T-A vineyards.com, if you want to go to the website.
But I would also like to know about another website called sparklingdiscoveries.com. In the time that we have left, Vicky, can you explain what that is?
Yes, that's a project I started out of pure love and joy and wanted to have a place for the community of people who love sparkling, who are thought leaders in sparkling, who are makers of sparkling, because there wasn't anything like that, and there still isn't anything like that. I interviewed a whole bunch of people who are involved as thought leaders, including Ashley, but also some other amazing people like Penny Gadcaster, Koster,
who
are part of that. And we also have resources on there explaining things like what is Method Champagne Moi and so forth. So it's a great resource for people, and it's a way to begin to build a sparkling community.
No, and I love that you actually created something that's elevating sparkling for everyone. So I think that just education is so key. I think more and more, especially we see that people really want to get the backstory. So
yeah, thanks for that. Sparkling is complicated and yet so full of joy.
So full of joy.
It is full of joy.
I want to make sure people know that it's great with any part of the meal. It isn't just for, toasting anymore.
No. That's why sparkling makes its way into my Tuesday nights a lot for my good wines Mondays and my Saturday afternoons and brunch on Sunday. Just saying.
Well, it is so food friendly. It's a little bit lighter and, sugar and alcohol, as Ashley described. So it goes well with everything.
And sparkling Syrah. That's super. So you still do that, right?
We still do that. And it is what I call joy in a bottle. Because it's the color of cranberries. It's just, it goes on a table and it just brings joy to the whole group
Absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
And wine is joy at the
wine
end of the day.
Wine is joy.
Absolutely.
Especially sparkling.
Yes.
And to be shared with friends.
I agree.
Okay. Well, we're going to take one last break. And when we come back, we will come back with our friends for our Tuesday night wine wrap up.
Let's do it.
Here to wrap things up on the good stuff with our Tuesday night wine selections, and so many to choose from.
Well, I'm going to give a clue on mine.
There's only one answer today, clearly.
The bubble bell. I'm just going to start because I'm so excited about having our guests in tonight because they make one of my favorite wines. So Blanc de Blancs, I'm a Chardonnay fan in general, so I love Blanc de Blancs. So sparkling made from Chardonnay grapes. And so I'm going to have your Amista Blanc de Blanc. Sparkling on Tuesday night. That's my good stuff wine. I might have to have it again on Wednesday, but that's neither here nor there for now.
I also love Chardonnay, but I'm going to switch things up and go with sparkling Grenache from Amista. And we didn't mention this earlier, Morningsong Vineyards is the name of your estate, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so this is Morningsong Vineyards sparkling Grenache from Dry Creek Valley.
Love
it. It's a beautiful color also.
I'll do the bell for that one.
Okay, and our guests, we'd really love to know your choices for Tuesday Night Wine.
Yeah,
my choice is our Cristalina Chardonnay. I am also a Chardonnay lover, absolutely obsessed. And we make a concrete fermented Chardonnay.
Fun.
It's super beautiful. It comes from our estate property. I absolutely love it. And it's a great Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday wine. So
or Saturday night
or
with
Saturday.
A steak. Why not?
Or lunch or breakfast.
It's an anytime wine. All the wines are anytime wines. So.
Yes.
I am going to pick a red wine.
Oh.
So I'm going to be a little bit different here and pick our Trace, which is a GSM blend, Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre. And it's something Ashley convinced Mike and me to make, and he didn't want to, but it became his favorite wine. So in honor of Mike, I'm going to pick our Trace for my Tuesday night.
I love that.
Lovely.
That's a great story.
All right. Well, to find out more, to visit and taste for yourself, visit www.amistavineyards.com. That's A-M-I-S-T-A vineyards with an S.com. Or also check out sparklingdiscoveries.com to learn more about all things sparkling and people who are sparkling.
And follow along on Instagram too at Amista Vineyards. So all sorts of ways to connect with you.
Yes. We look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Good Stuff Hour today. And from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.
Cheers!